Hey, how you doing? I'm still 3D. I've been waiting since 10:30. Did you get the wrong number?
We are here. We're here at last, and we've been trying to get you for the last 30 minutes, so, but we finally found you.
Okay. I was waiting a little while. Are we going to go ahead and do all those first?
Okay.
And then settle down a second, okay?
That works perfect for us.
We're going to right back.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on September 4th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. On that form was a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself?
I have to represent myself.
Okay, that's fine. The attorney is optional. I'd like to introduce you to the board that's conducting your hearing today. We have in the room the Honorable Louis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. My name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing. And we also have with us the Honorable Mr. Westby, who's with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today.
Okay.
So before we get started, I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Elmore and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Elmore?
Yes.
And Mr. Westby?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Elmore, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and phase two to determine if your community supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is read this allegation to you, and I need you to respond whether it's true or false, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So here's the allegation. We'll start phase one. It is that you were in violation of condition number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report in person for your initial intake on August 1st, 2018, as per written directive on June 1st, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Elmore, is this true or false?
True, ma'am.
That's true? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Elmore's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Motion by myself. Seconded Mr. Neal. Agreed, Dr. Wright and Mr. Quinones. Okay. Mr. Elmore, we'll move to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important one to you, and that is whether your supervision be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information so that we have with a little bit more information on it. We don't have very much at all, so just stay on the line there, and we'll be right back in just a moment as soon as Mr. Westby is finished, and we'll ask you some questions, and you can tell us anything you'd like to let the board know. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thanks. Mr. Westby.
On August 1st, 2018, Mr. Elmore was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested on August 22nd, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on August 22nd, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of March 22nd, 2020, which reflects 21 abscond days. Prior conviction, 2007, theft means transportation, 11 years, 3 months. 2007, dangerous deadly assault by a prisoner, 5 years. 2007, theft means transportation, 3 and a half years. Prior convictions, 1998, burglary, second degree, 2 and a half years. 1998, forgery, 2 and a half years. 2001, burglary, second degree, 3 years. 2001, theft means transportation, 3 years. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 4-4, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. As TG Gang Information notes, he's an admitted member of the 88 Boot Boys Skinheads, an Aryan Brotherhood suspect. Prior terms of supervision, 2000, TIS release, absconder, 60 days, read CCD prior to seeing the BOEC. His disciplinary is significant, with drugs, alcohol, disorderly conduct, violence, rioting, arson, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 2003, assault with a deadly weapon, New Mexico, felony conviction, probation. 2003, tampering with physical evidence, New Mexico, felony conviction, probation. 2011, drug paraphernalia, Arkansas, felony conviction, probation. 2012, controlled substance violation, Arkansas, guilty under sanction. 2013, dangerous drug violation, Arizona, county jail. His community risk score is a G6B8.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. All right, back to you, Mr. Elmo. We have a very, very brief written summary of your time while you were on community supervision. Basically, it indicates that you were released homeless.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
One thing, on those dates from like 11, 12, and 13,
yeah.
There should be no convictions right there. I was in prison.
You mean the drug paraphernalia in Arkansas?
Yes, I was in prison on those dates.
I was here
in Arizona Department of Corrections.
Oh, you were here in Arizona? I'll be darned. Well, okay. Well,
no, there's quite a few of those dates that are mixed up and have nothing to do with me.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, well, I'll make a note of the, at least the last three are no good.
I was arrested in 2006, January of 2006, and I wasn't released out of custody until August 1st of 2018. That whole time I've been incarcerated either in Maricopa County Jail or the Arizona Department of Corrections. There was no release date before that date.
Well, I wondered how you got to Arkansas. I mean, you were in New Mexico, then you were in Arkansas, and then you were here, and I thought, boy, you're just getting around. But you were all here the whole time. Okay. All right. Well,
things I have no idea about.
Well, it's, I don't know either. But we take note of your statements, so not a problem.
I would like to go over those dates again on some of those charges because there might be a few other ones in there that weren't me as well.
Well, that's just kind of that gives us an overall background just to kind of know that any types of crimes that you might have been involved in before. I assume that you did have some car thefts in your background?
Yes.
And some burglaries in your background?
Yes.
Okay, so those are the main ones. Something in New Mexico, assault with a deadly weapon?
Yes, that's what I'm here for right now.
Okay. Alright, so those are all correct. Those are the main ones anyway.
It was just the one assault with the deadly weapon. The prisoner, it wasn't even assault, it was the dangerous deadly assault by prisoner.
That's right. I wrote as fast as I could, but I was trying to write it down. Okay, so it looks like when you were released though in August of this year, you were released homeless, is that true?
Yes.
Okay, and where did you go? Did you come to Phoenix or where did you get released?
I got released from Yuma, and I took a shuttle bus to Phoenix, Arizona, and I enrolled myself into a treatment facility program called Traditions.
Okay.
And I stayed there from August 1st until August 22nd on my arrest date.
Okay. And did you communicate with your parole officer about that?
No, ma'am. I when we get into this later, I really had no idea I was on parole. The CO3 that released me from Yuma Complex told me that I was on my end date, and that I was getting released, but I had no parole. I do have an email that he sent to me. So he sent to one of the CO3s here at Alhambra, because I sent a questionnaire to him, and he even says that.
Okay. I just have a signed
form. That as evidence?
You signed a form on June 1st of 2018. I've got it right in front of me. From,
yes.
It was you and CO3 Bathrick?
Yes, this is a different CO3, because after that, I was supposed to get out June 6th. And then after that date came, they re-audited my time, and they pushed my date to August 1st. And then for some reason, a CO3 Martin redid a release packet on me, and I didn't sign no conditions of release. And then when I was released from the complex by the lieutenant, I was not given no paperwork on how to contact appeal at all. So I was under the assumption that I had no parole, because I did do flat time.
Okay, I can see that. And I'm going to ask Mr. Westby, our parole officer here, to look into the system and see if you can see, because we don't have the signed conditions either.
Well, I do have the signed conditions. I did sign those. The first release packet they gave me, I signed the release.
We have those, sir. We have the ones dated June 1st, but we don't have any dated closer to August. So.
Well, I'm looking.
Mr. Westby's looking in the computer right now, so just bear with us a little bit here.
I'm looking
at
the release packet information. That generally there would be a release authorization from the institution that would have more signature, and they
would put right.
The most recent conditions that he has signed.
Right.
So
we don't have those in our packet
right now, but I will tell you that as far as his release date, here it says here, initial release confirmation sent upon approved conditions, mixed ruling sent, SED 8118 plus 1 year, 7 months, community supervision
right.
From CCD at 3120. And so it has final release confirmation sent. This is on July 20th, 2018. This is from Time Comp, SED 8118, CSED 3120. And on his, pulling up his release here, I can go scroll down to the bottom here, and it will have, excuse me, just going to take just a.
Yeah, why you review that? Because we're showing the community supervision end date of March of 2020.
Right, this is the RMS screen is coming up, which will have his release authorizations, most recent conditions, so I can look here.
Okay.
And
just bear with us a little bit, Mr. Elmore. He's looking in the computer.
Oh, no, please take your time.
Okay.
I'd rather it be right than wrong.
Yeah, I understand. Slow today, isn't it? It's the weather.
Hey, I have a release confirmation, institutional release confirmation. This is
Mr. Elmer, are you able to hear Mr. Westby?
Excuse me, ma'am?
Are you able to hear Mr. Westby as he talks?
He keeps cutting in and out. Barely.
We'll try to be a little louder so you can hear what he says.
Institutional release confirmation report, which is dated July 27th, 2018, which was signed off by the board and this is from almost released in Phoenix. And it has under community supervision release date of 8/1/18, community supervision end date of 3/1/20. And there are some conditions which are attached. Some of these conditions are here. There's some conditions that are under for February 28th, so those are the wrong conditions. There are some final conditions here. Let me look at this date. This is dated 7/26/18. And as far as the date that it was, they know it's the same conditions that are attached. The date on here on the release, they just attached the conditions from June 1st onto his tacked on with release. So I don't know if there are any conditions are subsequently signed by him, but generally the conditions that are issued to him when they get their institutional release are the most recent conditions. And on these conditions dated June 1st, 2018, that has Mr. Elmore's signature on it, that clearly says I shall report a person to the duty officer of the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office located at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona by 3 p.m. on the day of the release. So there's no conditions that were after that, those conditions there that stayed otherwise. So those are the conditions that he would have been given when he was released from the complex.
Okay, so these are the conditions he would have followed, the ones that we have here.
Correct.
Okay. So Mr. Elmer, the conditions that you signed on June 1st?
I have those in front of me, yes.
Okay, those are the conditions you're operating under.
Okay.
And that's why the allegation on the, you know, we started this hearing was that you didn't report in person as directed on June 1st. And if you look at number 12A on those conditions.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the one that says I shall report in person.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The day that I got released, the lieutenant that released me, when you signed for your IDs and your bank card or whatever you want to call it, this paper was not included. I didn't get this paper until I got here and they gave it to me on my warrant. So beyond signing the paper and seeing it when I got my warrant, these are the only times I've seen this paper.
When you signed it, you received a copy when you signed it.
No, they told me I was going to get a copy on my release. I specifically asked Mathers for a copy, and he told me I was going to get one on my release.
CO3 has reviews the conditions of supervision of the offender, and then they have them sign and they get a copy of it. It may have not been at the time it was released. It might have been a month later when he did get received a copy of that.
Okay. All right, sir. So you're saying that you came up to Phoenix and you enrolled yourself in Traditions?
Yes, it was a treatment rehab. It's a treatment-based rehab halfway house.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we're familiar with Traditions.
Excuse me?
We're familiar with Traditions because other people use that program as well. When you're in that, this is one thing I'm not familiar with, is are you able to work while you're in that, or is that a full-time that you're there on site?
No, you have to obtain employment.
Okay.
And I worked for BCC Construction.
BCC Construction. Okay.
For the whole three, I got the job. I got released August 1st. I started August 2nd. I had that job lined up before I got released from prison.
Okay.
So I started the very next day I was out.
Okay. All right, so you were never given the name of a parole officer to work with?
No, ma'am. I didn't know my parole officer's name until I got the warrant. I think it's Jason Lister. I do believe he's
with
you.
Yes, Jason Lister. Right. Okay. All right, so I'm going to see if our board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question for me? Oh, I guess Mr. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Elmore, we're coming toward the end of your hearing. And I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, if you'd like to do that, and then the board will go into deliberation and make a decision. So is there anything else?
Yes, ma'am. The only thing I'd really like to say is that upon my release, I did check into Traditions. I committed myself to a 90-day rehab program, 90-day, 90 meetings. I started my 12 steps. And if I would have known of the parole, and if I would have had some sort of contact information for my parole officer, I would have definitely contacted him and got in touch with him, considering I went through all that. The only thing I can ask for is the opportunity to show you guys that I can complete this my parole. I did last time I was on parole. I completed it. Even if I have to check myself into like the new MRC program or any other kind of anything else that the parole officer would like me to do, at this point I'm at their behest. That's all I really have to say.
Okay, so our records are showing that the last time you had a parole in 01, that you actually absconded for 60 days.
No, I was on parole in 2002 and 2003 and 2004.
Okay, we don't have any record of that either, so. All right,
probation.
Could that have been probation, sir?
No, this was parole. I was released in mid-2003 and finished my parole January of 2004.
Was that in New Mexico?
Excuse me?
Was that in New Mexico?
No, this was in Arizona. I've never done time out of the state of Arizona.
Okay. All right, so the board is going to go into discussion and make a decision. And all we ask, we do our discussion in public, so we haven't discussed your case before right now.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
I do would like to send some things to you to put on record.
That was
based on what the CO3 said about me not having parole on my release.
I'm not sure. Let me ask our board chair how that could be accomplished. I'd like that should go to the comp
rather than to the board.
Yeah.
Unless, because they would have to recertify him to come back before the board.
Right.
So I think that should go to town comp. You should send that to them so they can go through that for him.
Thank you, Dr. Mr. Elmore, the Board of Clemency is a separate agency from corrections.
Mm-hmm.
So the best place for those records to be is to be in your official record at the Department of Corrections.
At the Department of Corrections?
Yeah, and that would probably time comp would be the best, but your CO3 can tell you where would be the best place.
Okay.
Yeah, so that it gets scanned in, so all that information is in there.
All right, thank
you. That would be the best. Okay, so Mr. Elmore, the board is going to go into discussion, and just remain on the phone, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's now in discussion. This is quite a puzzling case, given that we had some information that may have been incorrect there. It sounds like it was incorrect. And Mr. Elmore had, so he says, checked into Traditions, and I tend to believe him. And he absconded for 21 days, but for himself, he wasn't told that he had supervision. He had signed this document dated June 1st, which says he would report to the duty officer, but then he claims that he wasn't given a copy of this until he received it attached to this warrant. So I'm really torn on this one. He sounds like he's ready to. He sounds like he's ready to get his life together. I might be willing to entertain returning him to community supervision, but it would certainly be with a full set of signed conditions. But I'd like to hear from fellow board members. It's an unusual case.
I don't want to sound that I'm not sensitive to his situation. I know we've gotten this before. I should have said this. I should have thought of this earlier. Maybe we should consider continuing this until we can get to the bottom, until we can get all that straightened out. Because there's something's not clicking, and if what he says is correct, then
but we have no way to prove it.
We have no way to prove it. So that's where I'm thinking that if it's not too late, since a motion has not been made, we might want to consider continuing.
So we got some room. to wait.
Yeah, get some more information. I'm good with that. Everyone agree with that? Okay, so we just...
Can you wait?
Mr. Elmore?
Until we get proper...
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is such an unusual case and we're lacking so much information, we can't verify any of this because there's so much that appears to be incorrect. What we'd like to do is continue the hearing, which means we will not make a decision today, and we'll ask the Department of Corrections for more information, and we'll schedule it for another day in the near future. I mean, it won't be tomorrow, but in the very near future. We understand you're sitting there in prison waiting, but that's kind of what we would like to do, sir. And just in fairness to you and the department.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to indicate that we're going to continue this hearing, and you'll be notified again, just like you were last time, when the next hearing will take place. Okay, sir?
Is there one more thing I could put on the record?
You go right ahead.
Upon my release and my current incarceration, upon my release, I started into a gang prevention program where, and then as I got arrested this time, I'm currently working with the gang task force in order to, what would you say, unsolved cases?
Cooperating.
And where is that, sir? Which is that in Phoenix or?
Yes, I'm currently working with Hatfield. He works for the DPS.
Okay. All right. So is that what you wanted to get on the record?
Yes, but I'm completely done with all that.
Okay.
I'm completely done with the gang activity. I basically turned myself into an informant for the gang task force.
Okay. So. All right. Okay. Well, sir, we're going to go ahead.
I think if we could listen to rather than listen to Mr. Johnson because he was not here with us, if you could share with us what you were suggesting, sir.
What I was suggesting?
No, I'm speaking to the parole officer.
Mr. Wesley.
Yes. The Department of Corrections does not allow offenders to work as informants with any law enforcement agency. That's a matter of fact. That's part of condition number 10. I will not enter in any agreement to act as an informant or special agent for any law enforcement agency without the written consent of my supervisor officer. We do not issue consent unless there is some extraordinary condition and may receive some sort of word from the director's office.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Elmore, we're going to conclude the hearing, and you'll be rescheduled for a future day, and hopefully we'll have more information at that time, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, and I'm sorry for the confusion. And this concludes your hearing. Thank you.
Please.